Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Well, I'm excited to speak tonight. Thank you all for coming out on your Sunday night. And we might just jump straight into it without any further ado. So you've just heard a little bit about me. That I keep my husband alive, which is great. But the majority of my time is split between two places. So Monday to Friday, I'm a corporate girl. So I go to the office. The 9 to 5 is real. I travel into the city. And for those who don't know, I work in human resources and learning and development within a hotel, which is a lot of fun. And between that, I work with our youth here alongside that very handsome, talented guy in the front row, my husband. We lead the youth here at LMC, which is, it's a privilege, it really is. We've got some great young people within our congregation. And whilst these two roles might seem quite different to you, there's actually a lot of similarity. Basically, they're both in the business of people. And people often seek career advice or people advice, how to manage people when it comes to talking to their HR teams. And when it comes to youth and people in the church, people often seek life advice or relationship advice. They turn to us when they have problems or they just need a listening ear as well. However, one thing I have noticed between these two places is people are people. No matter where they are, we are people. Whether we're fully grown adults, we're young adults, or we're teens, we all thrive and we all are doing our very best when we feel like we have a purpose to our day, to our life. When we feel like we have a reason to get up each day, there's something bigger that we're striving towards, bigger than ourselves. When we have a vision for our lives. And Andy spoke so well this morning about how the enemy, we spoke about it as well tonight, the enemy comes to steal, kill and destroy. And Andy spoke on how the enemy wants us to feel that condemnation, that guilt and that shame to separate us from God and take us off the path. And tonight I want to focus on how the enemy comes often to interfere and destroy our vision for life. And I believe one of the tools that he uses to do this, to destroy our vision, is worry. And I've seen this occur countless times throughout both of these roles. So my title for tonight's message, if you're a note taker, is Warrior versus Warrior. Note the subtle difference in the spelling, please. And I did notice this while I was practicing, that it could get a bit confusing. So we're going to call the first worry, warrior with an O, and the second one, warrior with an A, just to avoid any confusion. But before I get started, let's pray. Lord God, I just thank you so much that your presence is already here tonight, and I thank you for that incredible time of worship, getting closer to you. And Lord, I'm your vessel tonight. I pray that my words are your words and that you speak through me tonight so clearly to those who need to hear it. Amen. As Steph mentioned, I recently went overseas for the first time for work, and it was my first solo overseas adventure. And prior to leaving, I started to get a bit worried about the taxi situation in Singapore. Because when Matt and I went on our honeymoon, we were supposed to have a transfer from the airport to our hotel. And they never showed up, which was first of all annoying. But second of all, I was walking around the airport looking for them. And these two gentlemen, who I don't believe had an actual taxi, were trying to convince me to get a ride with them. And I didn't think that was a very good idea at the time, which I think was quite smart. And so I was worried about how the taxi situation would be going down in Singapore and how I would be able to find a legitimate taxi when I got over there. And this thought kind of spiraled and turned into worrying about other things. Not knowing anyone on the trip, not being sure what the expectation would be or the workload, being able to keep up with the workload, and would I find someone to go and walk around Singapore with, or would I have to walk around by myself in a foreign city, and so on and so on. And I very easily could have let this spiral and turn into a larger worry that caused me to freeze. And I could have let the what-ifs completely dominate my thought life. And it could have festered to the point where I'd come up with some excuse not to go on the trip. But thankfully, I didn't. Turns out Singapore airport's really organized and they have a literal line where you line up and they direct you to a taxi. So not only was my worry for nothing, the actual fact that I did worry didn't achieve anything and it didn't get me in a taxi any sooner or any safer. So you can see sometimes I can be a warrior with an O, but I can also be a warrior with an A sometimes. And Matthew, you might disagree with me here, but anyone have a worry about spiders in their house. Anyone not a fan of spiders? We've got a couple. If I'm being honest, I do claim to be a warrior with an O when it comes to spiders in my house. I often ask Matt to come and get them. But if I'm being completely transparent and truthful tonight, I don't actually mind spiders. I can get them. I can pick them up and put them outside. I just don't want to do it. I don't want to clean it up. If I ask him to do it, he'll come and do it. So really, when I see a daddy long legs in the shower and I'm home by myself, I get into like warrior mode and I get the little, I don't know, container with the paper underneath. I get that spider and I take it outside, no worries. But when Matt's home, I might tell him to go and get it. So my life has changed forever because I'm being so open and honest with you all tonight. I'm sure I'll be getting the spiders from now on in our household. But in case you haven't already picked up, in preparing this and preaching this, I'm as much saying this to myself as I am to all of you tonight. And worry is something that each and every one of us have experienced or will experience. And we can worry about the big things like, I don't know, getting into a dodgy taxi in Singapore, or the little things like spiders in our households. And I see people everywhere accepting worry as just a normal part of life. And some people even define themselves by being someone who's generally worried in life. But I don't believe that God wants us to settle for this, because worry can be really crippling. It can stop us from walking in the freedom that God has already won for us, like we've spoken about tonight. And he tells us in Matthew 6, verses 25 to 27. So if you've got your Bibles, why don't you get that? But if you haven't, it's on the slide here for you. Let me just read this out. So therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds in the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? He knows this is something that we're going to struggle with in our lives, and he wants us to live in the freedom of this verse and not be bogged down by worry. So tonight, in talking about worry, I just want to start by going through the difference between concern, worry, and anxiety. And let me preface by saying, I acknowledge this is completely simplified and I'm no expert in this, but I listened to a sermon once on these, the difference between the three, and it helped me to kind of understand. So let's have a look at the three. So the first one is concern. Concern is focusing on a specific challenge and it results in action. So you would take action to combat that specific challenge. Worry happens in your mind. It's when you focus on something that is beyond your control, and often it results in inaction. Thinking about the what ifs, you get stuck. And lastly, we have anxiety, and this could be possibly a result of worry. It happens in your whole body, so from your mind, an all-consuming thought results in physical symptoms as well. And in this verse in Matthew, he's not saying don't ever be concerned, because that's just not possible. I think that's a part of us being humans, and it can even be helpful. So if we think about being concerned about, let's say my decking at home has a wobbly step, I might be concerned that someone could step on that, it could fall away and they could injure themselves. So I move to action, I move to fix that so that no one is hurt because of that step. Whereas worry can become somewhat of an idol for us. It can steal our focus off being solely on God, and the what ifs can take over our mind, the things that we have no control over. And one example of someone in the Bible who can illustrate that for us tonight is Gideon and his transition from being a warrior with an O to a warrior with an A. And I'm going to be reading from Judges 6 and 7. So if you're someone who has your Bible, why don't you get that out? But again, we'll have it on the screens. You can follow along. I'll just start with a bit of context on where we are. So Gideon is an Israelite, and the Israelites have been worshipping other gods and have become sinful in their nature. They've been oppressed by the Midianites, who have been taking their crops and livestock for 7 years. And the Israelites are essentially now living in poverty, and they're now crying out to God for help. So we're just going to start reading from Judges 6, 11 to 15. The angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash, excuse my pronunciation, just preface that for everyone. The Abizrite, where the son of Gideon, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all of his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hands of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh and I am the least in my family." Point one tonight, if you're taking notes, the first step to becoming a warrior instead of a warrior is to allow God to transform your identity. So we have God here who has sent an angel down to Gideon. And I just want to start by pointing out where we find Gideon. So it says he's threshing wheat in a wine press, hiding from the Midianites, worried that they're going to come steal the wheat from him, steal his harvest. And I've got a picture, because I didn't know what a wine press was, so I Googled it. And here's what a wine press looks like in ancient Israel. So you can see there's kind of holes in the ground there where they would create wine. And I think it's safe for us to assume, as the Midianites have been stealing their harvest, that there's currently no grapes to be making wine. So we find Gideon essentially hiding in a hole in the ground with his wheat. We find him in the midst of his worry. So here, we've got Gideon hiding in a wine press, and you can take that down now. And the angel of the Lord says to him, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Mighty warrior. Do you think Gideon felt like a mighty warrior at that time? I'm guessing probably not. I'm guessing it's the last thing he would even classify himself as. We find him hiding in a ditch, essentially, after years of being overcome by the Midianites. And he says, "Pardon me." When I think of that in my own head, it's kind of like a shocked response. Like, "Are you talking to me? Pardon me?" At least he's got his manners. He says, "Pardon." The angel tells him to go and save Israel. And again, he says, "Pardon me." He has zero confidence and belief that he is capable of this. And when we encounter challenges in our life, it's really easy for us to focus on it in our own strength and what we can achieve. Of course, we're going to be overwhelmed like Gideon was if we're thinking of it from this point of view, because we are just humans. And if I was Gideon looking at myself, I probably would have reacted in a similar way. Who do you think I am, God? Look at me. I'm hiding in a wine press. I'm hiding from my enemy. Look at my history. What little I've been able to accomplish in my life. Yet God says you are a mighty warrior. And Gideon does what most humans do, what our flesh causes us to do, and that's our default, which is to go to fear and worry rather than trust and acceptance of God. So what does God say about you? If you're not sure what he thinks about you, if you have no idea what he says about you, I encourage you to dive deep into his word, into the Bible, and start praying for revelation of what that is, because there is such power in knowing what God says about us. You are welcomed into God's family. You are his son or his daughter. You are loved. You are cherished. You're here for a reason. You're not an accident. And you have God's strength within you, and you are free if you've accepted him. He says, "I will provide for you. All you need to do is trust in me, because I have a plan for your life." And praise God that he is a patient God, because just as Gideon illustrates, sometimes we need a little convincing of this. And so we'll continue reading in verse 17. Gideon replied, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and I set it before you." And the Lord said, "I will wait until you return." I will wait. God is a patient God and he will wait for us. And something else that's important for us to note is Gideon doesn't hear the words mighty warrior and automatically goes, great, God says I'm a mighty warrior, let's go, this is fantastic. He keeps coming back to God to reaffirm this, and we'll see that later in the story as well. He comes back to reaffirm the identity that he has in Christ. It's not something that we can realize once and then never look into it again in our lives. It's like that we have to constantly reaffirm our identity in Christ until eventually the lies and the worry begin to break off for Gideon. And there's this battle in our spirit and our minds, and it's happening daily, and we can be so unaware of it. The enemy is tactical, and Andy spoke about this a bit this morning. He'll sow those subtle lies into our thoughts slowly and carefully. He won't bombard us with it to begin with, so that we're unaware that the attack has even started on our minds. It could start with a thought around failure. Maybe you've failed at something, or you've been unsuccessful with something, and your confidence is rocked. You start thinking, I'm a failure. It's too hard. It's too much to handle. There's no point in trying again. I'm just going to embarrass myself. I'm not skilled enough to do this. Why should I even bother? And you start to see yourself in a different lens. Your identity is different when you speak this over yourself. And you're seeing your identity through the lies of the enemy and the lies that he's throwing at your mind. And it would have been great if Gideon snapped right into his identity the minute he heard Mighty Warrior. But often it can take time for us to reverse that worried thought habit and to let go enough for God to break those chains. Sometimes it takes stopping and recognizing that there is an enemy that's trying to get to the root of our thought life, and we need to consciously take hold of that new identity we're called to have in Christ. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says, we take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. The enemy has no right to be invading our thought life. It's God's. We need to be assertive in taking those thoughts captive because the enemy doesn't ask permission. So if we continue in Gideon's story, we're going to look at Judges 6:19-22. I'll just summarize that. So he brings the offering to the angel and sets it on a rock. The angel then has a staff and it touches the tip of the staff on the offering, and it bursts into flames, and then the angel disappears. Put yourself into Gideon's shoes. That's pretty crazy stuff right there. Pretty faith-affirming, faith-assuring. You've just seen a miracle occur. But Gideon is still unsure. So throughout the rest of chapter 6, Gideon continues and he is obedient to the Lord and what he's asked. He destroys a false idol and he continues in gathering an army to fight the Midianites. But as reality kicks in and as he continues working on God's charge to him, the worry starts to set in again and his old thought patterns come back. His worry comes back and he feels he needs to test God. So we're just going to read from chapter 6:36-40. Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have promised, look, I will place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece and all the ground is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hands, as you said. And that's what happened. Gideon rose the next day. He squeezed the fleece and wrung out the dew. Then Gideon said to God, don't be angry with me. Let me make just one more request. Allow me one more test with this fleece. By this time, make the fleece dry and let the ground around be covered in dew. And that night, God did so. Only the fleece was dry and the ground around was covered with dew. Can you relate to Gideon here? God, perhaps just give me one more sign that this is the direction I'm supposed to be going. This is the choice that I'm supposed to make. Can you make it so clear and obvious that I'm making the right call? We want to make it clear. We want to make it easy. And we want to make it as comfortable as possible for us to walk in what God's calling us to do. And God is patient with us and will give Gideon this. At least he continued to seek God through his worry. God wants us to seek him. He wants us to seek his peace over our decisions, absolutely. But oftentimes, God's asking us to take a step in faith. And it's not always going to feel comfortable. It's not always going to feel easy. But all he asks is for us to take that step into what he's calling us to do, even if it doesn't make sense to us, even if we don't have all the answers. And when this is the case, when he's asking us to take this step of faith, God encourages us to have a look at our history, to be built up in faith, not only about our own experiences with God, but the examples that we find in his word. Which brings us to point two. In order to become a warrior, we need to be encouraged by what God has done in the past. Look at your history with God. So have a look at your history with God as we move on through the story. So we're going to take a quick step back to the beginning of the story, just before the angel appears to Gideon. A prophet is addressing the Israelites in chapter 6, verse 8 to 9, and this is what it says. He sent them a prophet who said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I rescued you from the hands of the Egyptians, and I delivered you from the hands of your oppressors. I drove them out before you and gave you their land." So the first thing that's said here speaks to their history with God. He had already rescued them from oppression. He had won a victory for them. He'd performed a miracle. And how quickly they have forgotten and fallen back into their sinful ways. When normality sets in and life gets a little bit easier, when you're out of the challenge or the situation. And aren't we all guilty of this thought pattern? We go through a circumstance. Maybe it's a health issue or a relationship breakdown, and God moves in that situation. He performs a miracle in your life. He heals you, or a loved one, or a relationship is brought back together. It's meant. And for a while, we're in awe. We're so thankful. We're on fire for God. And then normality starts kicking in again. And another situation arises, and we resort to that old thought pattern. What our default setting is. We start the worry cycle again. And we forget the power that God has. We forget the times that he's already moved in our lives. And in this verse, God is reminding the Israelites of their own experience of power, of his power and provision. And even though it looks hard right now and they're feeling hopeless, that God is in control. He's moved before in power and he will do it again. He's trying to renew their confidence in him. And in Revelation 12:11, it says, "And they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony." By their testimony. Their history with God. So how do we get reassurance from God? Not only do we need to look at our own testimony, our own history with God, our experiences of when he's moved in our life, but we also need to hide scriptures in our minds, the truth of the Lord in our minds, so that when the enemy is attacking our thought patterns, when he's trying to sow in that doubt and that condemnation, that we've got the truth sitting right next to it, that we can change our thought pattern. So God has revealed himself to Gideon, and he's reassured Gideon, moving on in the story. Gideon's choosing to trust God. He continues to build his army and prepare for battle. He actually gathers 32,000 men, which is quite a lot. And then God asks him to reduce that number. And Gideon, again, is obedient. And he asks him to reduce that number a few times and in a few different ways. And Gideon is obedient. And he ends up with an army of 300. So we've gone from 32,000 people down to 300. If that's not obedience, I don't know what is. So from a man hiding in a wine press to a man with such trust in God that he's willing to go into battle when he's clearly outnumbered, but he's got his focus solely on God's promise. He has full confidence that God is going to fulfill that promise for him. And we can see that transition in Gideon from a warrior with an O to a warrior with an A. And the story goes on, they surround the Midianite camp, and all together they have torches and they blow their horns and they chant. And in Judges 7 verse 22 it says, When the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their own swords. So God's promise was fulfilled. They won the battle. They didn't even have to fight the battle in the end. The Midianites turned on each other and destroyed themselves. And this leads us into my final point for the night. Trust in God's promises. Now, I was listening to a podcast a couple of weeks ago by Craig Rochelle, and he said a sentence that really hit a chord with me and has stuck with me. What you worry about most is where you trust God least in your life. So what you worry about most is where you trust God least in your life. It's a really big challenge for us. We can pray for peace and we can pray for breakthrough in a situation and for God to move. But oftentimes we actually don't give him room to move. We've taken the reins, we've taken control, and we don't want to give him control over the situation. We don't like to feel a lack of control as humans. And at the end of the day, it's a matter of trust and perspective. If our perspective truly is that God reigns above it all, that he's in control, he's sovereign, that he only wants the best for us as his children, it's really freeing for us. And it's trust building. It allows us to loosen the grip that we have on our lives and hand it over to God. The worry that we experience in this world begins to diminish, and we look at things from an eternal perspective. And I had a picture from God a few years ago, and I actually haven't shared it until now, but I thought it was really pressing to share tonight. So if you've got the first one there, you can kind of see the dot there is supposed to represent a person. This is my artistic ability, everyone. So we've got the white dot there, which is a person, and around them is darkness. And you can see it's completely surrounding them. There is no light. If we move on to that next picture, I had the image of God coming around that person, and I'm going to put the mic down for a second. Coming around them like that. So his arms are surrounding that person there. And you can see that God has illuminated that person and just the path in front of them. The darkness hasn't gone, but they are surrounded by God. And it actually reminded me of, I was at a Christian music festival when I was a teenager. It was pretty cool. I didn't expect the mosh pit to go hard, but it went really hard, and I was about 14 with my brother, and he had to literally form like a barrier around me with his arms so that I wouldn't get thrown around this mosh pit praising Jesus too hard. And it really reminded me of that because, again, the mosh pit wasn't gone when he put his arms around me, but I was protected in his embrace. And it's a really beautiful picture. And again, it's not that the darkness or the situation has disappeared. It's our perspective that has changed. We are surrounded by the God who protects us, and we trust in him and in his promises. And if we go to the next picture there, if we take it one step further, not only is God surrounding you in your circumstance, but whatever is surrounding you, whatever darkness is surrounding you, he's already surrounding it, and he's got the victory in that already. So you may be praying for God to take away your troubles and perform a miracle, and you're not seeing anything change. And I've got people in my life who are in that situation right now. And it honestly breaks my heart because I can see the enemy has such a tight hold on their thought patterns, and they are just bombarded with worry. And we should pray and we should have faith for God to move in our struggles and in our situations. But more than that, we should pray and have faith that God can shift our perspective to see past our immediate worry and know that he is already surrounding that situation. He's already got the victory for us. And I know it's easy for me to stand up here and say this. And it's like that I'm still working on myself, because in reality, it takes an awful amount of faith. It takes immense faith to trust in God when all you can see is that darkness and choose to trust in him. It takes discipline and it takes practice and time to press into God and into his promises, to know what he promises for you, to see past the world, to see past ourselves even, to that eternal perspective. And further than that, how we can be used in our situation to shine God's light, not only get through it. So do you trust God with the things that matter most to you? Take stock. Think about it for a second. What do you worry most about in your life? I encourage you to start to pray over that, to start to loosen your grip over that and trust God with it so that you can cling not unto that situation, but cling more tightly to Him. Give it over to God because He wants you to live in the freedom. He wants you to live worry-free in His peace. And in Jeremiah 17:7, it says, "But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in the year of drought, and it never fails to bear fruit." So would you classify yourself as a warrior with an O or a warrior with an A? Let's just take a minute to reflect. Who are you? Are you listening to what God says about your identity, or has the enemy been sowing worry into your mind, shifting your identity and causing you to distrust God? Secondly, take a step back out of the situation that you're currently in and reflect on how God has already moved in your life. What is your testimony with God? What is your history with God? And finally, do you trust God and His promises? Are you willing to relinquish control over that situation, over that person, over that thing, and trust God with the things that matter most to you? It's something that we all need to continuously evaluate and reevaluate throughout our lives, where we are on the warrior versus warrior scale. So just like to pray to finish. God, thank you so much for your incredible love for us. Thank you for your patience for us. Lord, I pray for those who are feeling like Gideon at the beginning of that story, Lord. I pray for those who are feeling bogged down in worry. Lord, I pray for you to shine and point out where in their lives they are not trusting you and not giving over the entirety of their situation, Lord. I pray, I just pray for your spirit to really convict those of us who are bogged down in worry and who haven't been able to relinquish control. And Lord, I just pray that you move so strongly and replace that worry with peace, God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thanks, everyone.